Now, our theme for this summer has been Built Be Filled Up This Summer. Great graphic there. And we've been thinking about the way God wants those who follow him to be watchful over one another and to watch over our own walk with God, to be joyful, quick to rejoice, to be prayerful. Prayerful in our thoughts, in our actions and interactions, and so on. Now, we're going to hear back from a bit of the passage from 1 Thessalonians 5 we've been kind of living in over these past few weeks. Paul just piles in so many encouragements and instructions that we've just taken our time, because it's summer, just to think about one, and we pray that God changes us bit by bit. So let's hear from it again. I'm going to read it once, and then if you're able to read it, I'll do it a second time, and you can read it if you're a good reader or you just remember what I've said. So let's just rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. Just think about that. Would you say it with me if you're able to? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, being a very intelligent group, just looking at you, you've probably worked out that today we're focusing on God's call for us to be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the danger is it sounds a bit like a mother or another grown-ups, you know, trying to help us mind our P's and Q's, we used to say. Be polite, mind our manners. You know, you've got to say please and thank you. And it's just like, well, is it just we've got to remember to say thank you? Well, no, giving thanks is so, so much more than that in God's eyes. It's really important for us. It's really important that we do it. And it's also very good for us as well. For example, when I say thank you to someone. Thank you, Robbie, for leading the band there and choosing that great songs. Thank you for that introduction to the second song. I loved it. You know, when I say thank you to somebody, thank you to those at the back who have been working hard to make sure we had the words and the sound and everything. It's like I'm learning not to take people or things for granted. That's why thank you is so important, isn't it? We appreciate the value of something or someone in learning to say thank you. And when I actually say it, thank you, and mean it, which I do for the guys in the back, for Robbie as well, I'm also learning it's not just important to feel grateful, but to express it too. Because when you say thank you honor the giver. You honor them, you give to them honor. And I hope they feel appreciated. It was awesome, so it was easy to say thank you. And God really wants us not to take things or people for granted, but not to take him for granted. And to value what he and others he sends our way do for us. And to say it and pray it and live it. Giving thanks in all circumstances. So, well, how do you live a thankful life? Lorraine's going to help us as we start to think a little bit about that. So,
brilliant. Do you want to take that? I wonder if you've ever had to make a choice or make a decision ahead of time. Yeah, so that then once you've made it, you couldn't change your mind. I was trying to think of a few different examples, and you might think of more later on today, but I wonder if you've ever done that, where you've had to choose food for a meal. Maybe you're going out and you have to choose your food before you get there, or maybe if you're at school, I know it's holidays at the moment, but you choose your school lunch a few days or weeks beforehand. That would be familiar to some of you. And you make it without seeing it, don't you? And the decision's made, and then you're there, and that's it. That's it. You're stuck with it, and there is no changing. That was one example I thought. The other one is when you're driving and the traffic cones appear. Maybe this is because we went on holiday. I heard the odd groan. And you know you have to choose a lane and stick with it, yeah? Oh, that can be a tough one, can't it, you know? But we have to make that decision kind of ahead of time. And the decision's made. The choice is made. Do you know, I was thinking about that when we were reading through this little passage earlier on in the week. And today we're focusing on thinking about how we can be thankful people, filled up with thankfulness. And it's almost as if we need to make that decision ahead of time, that choice to be thankful. And then no matter what, do you know, that decision is made, isn't it? There's no changing. Just like when we choose our food or we choose that lane ahead of time. So let's have a little think about thankfulness. In fact, let's think about the opposite, okay? Just, I'm going to give you, not long, all right, I don't know, 30 seconds or something like that. And you can either do it by yourself or if you want to just turn a little group, people around you, okay, whichever you're most comfortable with. What's the opposite of being thankful? What do you think the opposite of being thankful or being grateful is? The opposite. Go on, have a little think or a little chat. Off you go. Okay, let's come back together. I'm going to ask Andrew to just whiz around. Is that all right with a microphone? Okay. What did we think? Anyone happy to just give their suggestions? What did you think was the opposite? What did you come up with? One down here, I think. We've got one at the front.
Yeah, entitlement perspective.
Oh. That's a good one. Entitlement. One at the back, Andrew. Where? I think. Has Dominic got one at the back? Yeah, that's right. Andrew's coming with a mic.
Moody.
Yeah.
Moody. Hello. One over there.
Over here. What's the opposite?
Andrew, I am being a spoiled brat.
A spoiled brat. The opposite of being thankful, being a spoiled brat, yes.
That's great, isn't it? You got to love children.
At least one more.
Being ungrateful and unthankful and taking things for granted.
Yeah, they're really good. Thank you. I didn't come up with all of those, I have to say. They're quite creative. Entitlement, that's interesting, isn't it? That's kind of getting me really thinking. I came up with, which kind of fits with a lot of those moody we had, didn't we? I had grumpy. Yeah, really grumpy. That. Oh, my goodness. To grumble. Yeah, I think we can, maybe it's just me, but maybe quite quick to grumble, to be moody, pick up on his word. Yeah, okay, just another quick 30 seconds, okay? You don't have to do this one personally, but you may want to. You can just talk generally, okay? What do we grumble about? What do we grumble about? Or what do you grumble about? Up to you how you take it. Go on, 30 seconds. Okay, that's great. Before we have an absolute rant and a rave, let's just feedback a little bit. Okay, that's great. Andrew, are you happy to go around again? Listen, when you're putting your hand up, we know it might not be for you. This can be generally speaking, okay? But what might we grumble about? There's one just a couple in the middle after that.
To be a grumble, when you bought a your parents bring the wrong present, you won't be grateful. But when you grumble, you being like ungrateful and stuff.
Yes, thank you. Ungrateful. There's a couple here.
People grumble about the state of the NHS quite a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Says one healthcare professional.
It's one.
not letting people off the train first.
Oh, said with passion. There's one at the back, Andrew.
Being tired.
Oh, you grumble about that.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Thank you for those. Do you know, I looked up, listen, I found it on the computer, so it's got to be true. I looked up the top things that British people grumble about. All right, I'm not going to name all of them. This wasn't necessarily in the top order. British people love to grumble about queuing. Yeah, we love a queue, but we also grumble about them, don't we? Public transport, yes, fits a little bit with what Anthony was saying. And the weather. It's got to be the weather, isn't it? Oh, we love to grumble. But, you know, the problem with grumbling is that we focus on what we don't have, don't we? Or what hasn't happened. Let's take the weather, for example. It's just not enough rain, is there, at the moment? I mean, it's just been so hot. Plants are dying, and it's just such an effort to water, and we just can grumble. Well, then it does rain. That was the one day we were going to have a picnic. You know, so quick to grumble, aren't we, about the weather? Yeah. Do you remember where we started, that choosing ahead? Do you remember that? If we choose ahead of time to be thankful people, you know, our response can't then go down that path of grumbling, can it? Because we've already made the choice that we're going to be thankful. So instead of grumbling in the different situations that we face, we try and focus on what we do have or what has been done for us, and we're thankful. You know, so rather than grumbling about the queue in the supermarket, I don't know, we choose to be thankful for the food that we are able to buy. Rather than grumbling, we look for things that we can thank God for in that moment. The choice has been made ahead of time, and we start to grow a habit of thankfulness.
Lorraine said lots of brilliant things. There was a really interesting phrase about growing a habit of thankfulness. Growing a habit of thankfulness. That thanks is more habitual than ingratitude or entitlement or spoilt bratness or whatever. Now that takes a bit of the renewing of our minds. As we start to follow Jesus, the Bible invites us into renew our minds. And so we're going to think, how do we live more thankfully? It involves retraining your brain. You can retrain your brain. You see, what we've seen already is that thankful thoughts aren't always the bubbling up continually and the dominant thoughts in our minds. Often it's other thoughts that can get in there that aren't always so positive. So it's not there naturally. So we've got to make a choice. I'm going to make a choice to be more thankful today and the rest of this week. Okay, so we kind of make that choice. That's what Lorraine encouraged us in advance. So that's what we want by God's grace and by God's help. Okay, but if we want to give thanks more naturally and more often, always, I think, give thanks in all circumstances, says Paul, then we'll need to learn to dig deeper to find extra things to find thanks to God for, okay? Now, just to illustrate this, I'd like a few volunteers to come up and just help, if you're prepared to take on a challenge, okay? It's our table tennis ball challenge. So I just need three volunteers who are good at searching things out. So I've got one volunteer coming up already. Let's have another. I can see one back there. Yeah, doesn't matter if there's more. Come on up. If you do, you want to come and kneel behind that one? There you go, Dominic. Do you want to come around this? You come behind this one. Can you kneel down there and just help him look at it from there? Okay. So you kneel down next to that one. Who's going to do this one? You'll do it, and you be a helper down there. Yeah. Okay. If you be eyes on the side, you be eyes on the side down there. Right. Very, very simple. All I'm going to do is say the first one to find, and then I'll name a colour of a ball. And you just get it and put it up, all right? Easy? Okay. Could you... first one with an orange ball. Okay. That was so quick. I don't really know. I think it was in the middle. Okay, they've all said yes. Very good. Okay, first one to find a white ball. Someone's really, really good. Okay, very good. What about first one to find a pink ball, but all the balls must stay within the basket apart from that one. First one to find a pink ball. How's that? Very, very good. Yes. Oh, everybody, let's give them all a clap. That's really good. Okay. How about first one to find a green ball? Okay. There we go. A ball came out there, so that one did get disqualified. And did of this one? So you were winner. The balls have to stay within, so don't go too wild. Okay, what about first and find a yellow ball? Yep, I can see that. One or two table tennis balls came out of the middle one. Yes. I can see it. You need eyes on the side. There you go. We've done it. Great. Let's give him a clap. That's fantastic. You go back to your seats. That's very well done. Brilliant there. That's good. Now, what was really interesting was the orange and white balls, they were there. There were loads of them. They just seemed to be top of the pile, easy to find. The other colours, it just needed a bit more searching and maybe a little bit more strategy to find those other balls. And it's a bit like that if we want to grow in a habit of gratitude, to make being thankful to God, thankful to others, a habit, and changes how we are. And I'll tell you, psychologists have done lots and lots of different studies on this, and they've discovered that people who've had a really, really difficult life, people who suffer from worry and anxiety all the time, or people who feel very, very sad, they don't have to live forever in that state, because our brain cells, we can grow new brain cells. We literally can retrain our brain, make the choice, and then do different things. They call them gratitude exercises. And with the help of God as well, if you've got things where you can do them, it's a bit of work, but you start to retrain your brain. So, for example, thank you. You have to find ways of consciously recalling some of the blessings of the day, things that have been good, so that they come to the surface, you can find them. You have to find ways to find the good things that have got buried deep down, because somehow all the things that make us grouchy and grumbly, they're all near the top, and they're easy to find, and we think them and say them. But the thankful ones aren't. You might have been wondering why I've got these shelves over here. I'm not on commission from a famous flat pack company or anything like that. Some of you may have recognised them because they're borrowed, not yet with permission, from the children's department. Okay, so, with our memories, I've forgotten what I was going to say now because I've just made my confession in front of everybody. But is there a way we can find them? You see, a bit like those orange balls, the good things. Wow, I don't know. It's easy to find the orange and white things. So I'm just like, they come to the top. But to find the good things, find the blessings from God, we've got to search. There's nothing in that one. and maybe just have to dig a little bit deeper with that intentionality to find some of those things. So they're like top of the pile, the things that we're grateful to God for. The psychologists talk about a librarian. It's a bit like your mind. Your memory is like a librarian. And it selects the books out of the vast quantity stored. And the default function, the way it works naturally, is your memory, is that it goes to the memories that are bad or depressing or worrying and so on. They're top of the pile. But the idea is, if we can focus down and find the things to be grateful for and different things, we start to retrain our memory librarian for all the books to go and get blessings and goodness. And then we start to change. And rather than being predominantly grumpy or grumbling or spoiled brats or entitled, we start to be grateful followers of Jesus. Intentional, regular things that we do can bring change. Sometimes for people it involves medical interventions as well, but God wants us to search deep, to allow thankfulness to bubble up. This is God's will for you in as you follow Jesus, says Paul in that bit that we all read out together. And I just thought, well, it's right for Paul to say that, but does he do that? And so I went back to the start of the letter, and this is what Paul had to say. He'd often start us a letter. And he starts off in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 this way. He says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mentioning you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." There he was. He starts by, that's his habit of giving thanks for the people that he's writing for. And he thinks about particular things. And sometimes when we look at that passage, we can think, oh yeah, we need to be a bit more like that. Work produced by faith and so on. But what's great is that Paul had particular things he thought of in that moment. He's like, I thank God for them. Now, what do I thank God for them? And so he was doing a spiritual brain exercise where he's like, well, I thank for their work for God that comes out of this amazing faith. I remember how they came to know Christ and trust him. And then, well, they do so much. And they do it out of a love for God. And you see this love and you feel this love from them. And then they keep going. They keep going because of this hope that they've got. And he thinks about all these things and he says, thank you. He gets his memory librarian to search through and find these things. And then he tells them, he expresses his appreciation and thanks. And he's doing this writing from prison. In all circumstances. So Paul, this is he's trying to train himself to give thanks in all circumstances, and he does it in all circumstances. His circumstances, they weren't good, far from it. But he wasn't grouchy or grumpy, but was seeking to, by God's grace, renew his mind, retrain his brain. Our American friends who live across a large bit of water from us, they have something each autumn called Thanksgiving Day. Now, I have this little idea. Why not all of us commit to having a Thanksgiving week this week? And once or twice a day, do some retraining your brain exercise. Now, one of the things I've been trying to do over the last year is in my planner, where I've got the different jobs I need to do, I try and work out which are the most important, but I also make sure I say three things I'm grateful for each day. But I'm not allowed to say the same things every day. It's got to be different things, okay? So this is like trying to train my memory library. It's really, it's really hard. You know, I can say thank you to God for Lorraine all the time. And so, most of the time. And all the time. And that was wrong, wasn't it? I'm thankful. I've made a choice. this is going wrong. And it's good. We still say thank you to God for Lorraine, but there are additional things. Something that happened yesterday. So maybe first thing in the morning when you have breakfast, you jot down three things. Or maybe last thing at night, you're just going to say a prayer to God. But before you do, you really search through and just think of those good things. It's a really good thing to do. The happy things, the good things. And then bring them to God and give thanks to Him. Okay, so that's one thing. A Thanksgiving week. Who's up for that? You don't have to put your hands up. But yeah, you can if you want to. I like that. Thankful pause is the second thing. Maybe you want to stick your phone to chime every hour. And when it does, you just pause. And it's like, what can I be thankful for the last few moments? It might be somebody at home. It might be a friend who's just got in touch, or you're off out somewhere, or a work colleague. And might be that actually a prayer that you prayed the previous evening has just been answered. So it's good to think, oh, is there a spiritual blessing? Is there a friendship blessing, good relationship or something? Is there a material blessing, something that you've actually just received physically, and you say, thank you, God, for that particular thing. Just a thankful pause every hour. Just switch the chime off during the night, okay? Otherwise, you won't be thanking me for the service this morning. It's always really good just to find different ways to retrain our brain. And it does us good. We change to be more like Jesus, which is what He wants, to be joyful always, pray continually, our thoughts, our actions, our interactions, and to give thanks in all circumstances. We're going to get going with some thanks now, get retraining, and Lorraine's going to help us with that.
Brilliant. So we want to be thankful people, don't we? People full of thanks in those different situations and circumstances. We're going to make that choice in advance and retrain our brain, dig deep. So let's start, shall we? Hopefully, you have got a piece of paper on your chair when you came in. If not, there are plenty of spares around. And what we're going to do is just take a moment to write down or to draw something or a situation, something that you want to say thank you for, you want to give thanks to God for. And what we're going to do, Rob is going to play quietly, and you're going to have a chance to do that, and then just hold on to them, okay, for the moment. Now, you may have brought a pen. If not, Nicola, very helpful Nicola, is going to, she'll just be around with pen, so just stick your hand up, and she'll bring them to you. So let's just take a quiet moment, shall we, and to write or draw our thanks. That's great. You can bring the baskets to the front. Nicola will just take them from you. And then you're welcome to go and sit back down. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, what did that verse say? Whoever gives a thank offering shows me honor. Let's pray. Father God, we want to be thankful people. Would you help each of us to make that choice to say thank you, to be quick to give thanks rather than to grumble? Help us to learn how to do that. Not just when the things are going well, but to do it in all circumstances, all the different situations that we face. Lord, so that we can create that new habit of thankfulness. Lord, would you take these thank offerings this morning as an act of worship? And may they give you honor. Amen.
Amen. It's very, very moving just to think of all the different thanks that are being offered up to God right now in this. And if we can make that choice, choose to be more thankful this week by God's help and grace. I remember one of our boys, he can remain nameless, but one day he'd had a really, really grumpy, awful day. And then in the midst of it all, he suddenly said, I'm going to be happy now. And he changed. He's only young, but he changed. And that was it. He made a choice. Wouldn't it be amazing? Make a choice. I choose to be more thankful with your help, God. And then retrain our brains to do those little things that help us dive deeper to find those blessings and goodness in us so that actually we change. And this week, wouldn't it be amazing if God reviewed this week, next Sunday, when we all gather just for time together over pastries and prayer, God's thinking, oh, what an offering of thanks during this week. It's amazing, isn't it, when you think about it? And very, God is just incredible the way he touches our lives and makes a difference. We're going to sing a final song in a moment. And it's about God's goodness in our lives. The psalmist says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll live in your house, God, forever. And I think every now and then we realize, my goodness, he is doing that. He's leading us in his goodness. And this song gives us a way to thank him and bring that to him. At the end of the service, there'll be an opportunity to receive prayer. And maybe you've just been thinking about bits and pieces and you'd like somebody to pray for it. Or you've got something coming up this week and you'd appreciate the people praying alongside you for that. Or just you need God's help or healing or hope. Come and receive prayers.